If by some miracle you're listening to this, that could either mean one of two things. Either we made it out, or I'm long gone by now. Whichever it is, my name is Jesse, and this is my story. The only rational way to go back to town would be by car, and leaving Ben and Lenny at our camp alone without the van just wasn't an option. So the plan was to go together, and when we found a place that we both felt was safe enough to go check out, we would scope out a place to pull the van alongside so it was out of plain sight from the road, like behind the house, behind some overgrown bushes, anything like that. Then Lenny and Ben would stay in the van as a lookout, ready to peel out if anything went south. They were to, under no circumstances, leave the van and come into the house. That much I made very clear to Lenny. And to say she hated the idea of scavenging would be the understatement of the year. But I told her that what we have isn't enough for long term, and frankly, I don't even know what's happening in the world anymore. She very reluctantly stepped back and let me make the call to go back to town and scavenge, but she never actually agreed. In case anything went wrong and we had to make a quick getaway and not come back to our camp along the river, she wanted the ammo to say this was my decision, and then she never actually agreed from the beginning. You know, like an I told you type of thing. She wasn't clever about that, I saw exactly what she was doing. So with the plan set, we sat down that little firecracker to fill him in and see if he thought going to get some new fishing rods was a cool idea. He lit up like a kid on Christmas before we could even finish telling him what we had to do to actually go get them. And there was almost no getting through to him after that. The next few minutes was him just yesing us to death when we tried to explain what the plan was. We knew he mentally checked out of the conversation at that point, and he was full steam ahead. He was so excited that he started putting on his boots before we were even done talking about the plan. And we had to stop him and tell him that we wouldn't be leaving until first dawn. And boy, was that guy disappointed with that news. But that's what we thought would be the best time to go, hopefully before anybody is awake to spot us, if there really is anybody that's still around. The next morning came quick, and we all got up and ready to go. I didn't even get to make my morning lukewarm cup of coffee before leaving. All of our nerves were just so high that coffee didn't even cross my mind. And believe me, that doesn't happen very often. I was awake and my adrenaline was already pumping. So we packed up everything that was loose around the van and hit the road. We tried our best to remember the exact way back, but we must have taken a slightly different route because we hit a town that we didn't recognize. But that's alright, this one I'll do. It's all the same now anyway, isn't it? We talked the plan over one last time as we searched for the perfect house that had the right amount of coverage for the van. We stumbled upon a house that was set back further than all the others on the block, nestled behind the initial row of houses. Bingo, that's our place. We passed by it two more times before we actually had the courage to pull into the long driveway and head to the house. But we couldn't waste any more time, so whether we were ready or not, we had to pull the trigger and get to it. We slowly pulled down the driveway, with nothing but the sounds of our tires crunching over the pine cones that scattered the black, cracked pavement. When we got up to the house, we stood there facing the front windows, whispering to each other, asking if anybody seen any signs of life. There was nothing. The sun was starting to peek through the pine trees that separated this front yard with the neighbor's backyard. I looked at Lenny as she peered back at me with fear in her eyes. Okay, I'm going in. Hand me my hunting knife in that backpack over there. I said, slide to the driver's seat, but remember, do not keep your foot on the brake. We don't want the taillights being lit up for everybody else to see. As I got out, I was careful not to slam the door, and I briskly made my way around the back of the house. Trying to catch my breath and stay focused, with my knife in its sleeve pushed through my back belt loop, I made my way to the window to look into the kitchen. It was dark, so it took me a minute to make out what I was actually seeing. The place seemed rummaged through already. There was a blanket of miscellaneous household items on the floor, with the pantry door swung wide open. It was completely empty other than some old cooking oil and some small jars I just couldn't make out from this far. Seeing that actually gave me a sense of ease. It made me feel like whoever lived here in the past was long gone, and others have made the trip already to clear it out before me. But I wasn't here for food like I imagined everybody else was. I had other things in mind. So there's still a chance that they could still be here, if the old owners even had them in the first place. I made my way to the back door that was half glass panes above the knob, and I gave it a little wiggle. Shit, it's locked. I kept sliding along the house to the next window that I could reach and tried to push it up, but no luck. It was locked too. It looked like the place was scavenged already, so I just assumed something would be left open. But I also didn't want to risk going through the front again and wasting more time trying that door. So I made my way back to the rear door, and I used the butt of my knife to knock out the bottom glass pane right above the lock. I reached in and unlocked the door and pushed it open. It slowly opened, but not without a loud and slow creak. That gave me chills. If the window wasn't loud enough, if anybody was inside, they know exactly where I was now. I crept slowly past the door. With every step came a crack in the floorboards underneath my feet. Then I heard it, a thump to my right. It made me freeze in my tracks, my breath ceased to exist. I turned slowly to see what that sound was, and right beside me... Oh, shit. Fucking raccoons. I don't care how manly you are, if something jumps out at you right next to your face and scurries right past you, you're gonna scream too. And that's how I came up with my signature phrase that I use every time I enter the house or any place I'm scavenging. I knew that if anybody was in there, they heard me scream, and it was no secret that it was there anymore. So I decided to call out, "If anybody's in here, make yourself known. This is your place and I will gladly leave you to it. I am not here to rob what is rightfully yours." Silence. I took that as a sign that I wasn't exactly unwelcomed, so I started going room from room as swiftly as I could to clear the house. From the kitchen, to the dining room, to the living room, all clear. That's when I went around the corner to the last room on the bottom floor. A second living room. One of those living rooms where your family only used when they were hosting a holiday party. The one with the nice white furniture that you were never allowed to actually sit on. And there he was, slumped over the formal white couch, bloodstains down the armrest. He was a man in his mid to late 60s with flies all around his face, and a small black revolver by his feet with 3 or 4 shells by its side. I immediately turned out of the room, ran back out the kitchen, and I just couldn't hold it back. I threw up everything that was in my stomach and couldn't do anything about it. I stumbled back to the door and out into the yard. My vision was hazy from the tears that inevitably swelled up my lower lids. I huddled over the brick stove that was on the black back patio and composed myself. I couldn't go back to my family looking like this. I couldn't let them know what I saw. They don't need to know. Nothing good would come of that. I stood up straight, wiped my face, and headed towards the side gate. Then I paused and thought. Think to myself, why am I leaving empty-handed? Sure, it's gruesome in there, but they'll never know about what that was, and now it just looks like I'm leaving empty-handed. I asked myself if I can get myself to go back in there, and to my surprise, I didn't even think twice. I turned around and marched in there with a newfound force. I entered the kitchen. I noticed a can of corn rolled under the cabinet. I took mental note of the grab that on the way out, and kept it moving. In order to get upstairs, I had to walk past my new friend again. And I told myself not to look in his direction and only focus on finding those stairs and keep clearing this house. Apparently, that's easier said than done. I couldn't help but look at him, and that's when it became clear to me. That man didn't die by his own decision. No, He didn't take the easy way out when everything started to get real bad and off himself. And upon a second inspection, that much was clear. He had 4 bullet holes in his chest. I took a glance across the wall opposite of him and noticed 3 bullet holes in his floral wallpaper covered wall and a splat of blood right next to that. A motion picture of what went down flashed into my head. This badass grandpa heard somebody intruding on his property, and when they came around the same wall I just did twice now, they were met with 3 shots, with one of them landing but not doing enough damage to take the intruder down. And that was his final mistake. He was answered with 4 shots to the chest plate, dropping him where he stood. He died trying to protect his belongings, something that instantly brought me back to the thought that all of my loved ones were doing the very same thing back home. I winced in fear that one day they will be met with the same outcome. I just prayed that they had enough numbers to stop whatever they will undoubtedly face sooner or later, and turned my attention back to those stairs. 3 bedrooms, a bathroom, and 2 linen closets placed atop a faded green carpet and brown painted trim. I don't want to knock a dead man as I'm rummaging through what's left of his belongings, but oof, some color scheme. I went to the master bedroom first to see what I could find and immediately noticed that the upstairs was torn through as well. But what gave me hope was a spool of fishing line that was kicked on its side at the bottom of the floorboards. Bingo! As my voice went up a few octaves, I grabbed it, threw it into my backpack, and gave one more quick run through. Nothing seemed like it was worth spending more time grabbing, so I went back around the bed and aimed for the door. That's when I noticed something out of character for that room. Like I said, this place was torn apart from other scavengers who seemed to have a more hostile way of handling things. So closet doors were left open, socks and underwear littered the floor, and every dresser drawer was violently ripped open. Bed sheets were ripped off, leaving the mattress bare. Everything was a mess. Everything, except the end table that was next to the bed closest to the door. The drawer of that brown solid wood end table were still closed. For some reason, it was virtually the only thing that wasn't picked apart, and that meant I had to see what the last person missed. I quickly galloped back towards it and opened it up the top drawer. "Fuck yes," I said in a hushed tone. It was a box of ammo for a revolver, presumably the one that laid next to that man's slippered foot. I slid the box open and noticed only 6 bullets were missing. Poor bastard only ever loaded the thing once, and he didn't even get to empty it before he lost that battle. I threw it in the bag and ran downstairs to get the best made of my new bullet collection. Excited, I may not have been all that quiet as I hustled down those stairs, scooped up the gun, put it in my waistband, threw my shirt over it, and turned the corner. I walked through the dining room when I noticed a beige wooden door stained with black fingerprints that could only lead to the garage that Lenny and Ben were patiently waiting very anxiously alongside. If there was going to be any fishing rods here, they would be in there, and I'm sure of it. I opened it up slowly to make sure it was clear and got my excitement leveled down again from my newfound gun. I stepped into the garage and was forced to prop the interior door open in order to let some light inside. I found an old tire and rim in reaching distance, so that's what I used. I was ecstatic to notice that it seemed to be untouched from the scavenger, so I felt like this is the first time I was ever in line at Walmart on Black Friday. I swung my backpack to the front of my chest and left the zipper open. The first thing I noticed was a roll of duct tape on the workbench, so I grabbed it and threw it in. About 10 feet from that, I saw that there was a loaf of what looked like white bread covered in dust and grime. Couldn't make it out, so I had to walk over and wipe off some of the dust. But I knew damn well what I wanted it to be, and sure enough, it was the tackle box I came here for. I picked it up and gave it a slight shake and was answered back with movement. I opened it up and saw it had a pack of hooks, some weights, and a rusty old jig. It was no Cabela's, but beggars can't be choosers. Now, where are those damn rods? It was dark and dusty in the garage, so tripping over things wasn't unexpected. I got caught up reading the back of an old oil pint when I heard the rear door crack open and voices in a hushed tone come through. A
I told you to lock that damn door last time, you idiot.
I told you I did close it last time, and if you weren't too busy yelling at me, you would notice that the glass on the floor was broken. I didn't do that neither. I think somebody's been here.
I immediately dropped down to a squat and shuffled my way over to the door that was still propped open.
I had to use a tire,
I thought to myself, annoyed as I slowly rolled it away and closed the door, careful not to close it all the way so I could still hear where they go.
When do you think they were here?
I heard the first man ask as they made their way upstairs.
This was my time to get out, and get out fast.
That's when I noticed no less than 15 fishing rods all laying across the rafters and the ceiling.
All I needed was one, and they're upstairs now. Think I have enough time to grab it.
But I needed something to stand on so I could reach them. I frantically looked around for anything that I could use when I saw paint cans in the corner. Feeling the pressure, I grabbed two cans, stacked one on top of the other, and stretched. It was just enough to get my fingertips on the edge of one of the rods. I stretched with every inch of my body as the rod fumbled in and out of my grip.
Go get your lazy ass downstairs and look for something I could bang this safe open in the garage. We're getting this thing open today if it's the last damn thing I do.
You better stop bossing me around, I'm telling you, or one day I'm gonna dust my boots off with your lid, I'll tell you what.
Oh, shut your five-tooth mouth and go get me a damn sledge.
Shit, they're coming. I need to get out of here now. As I heard his first steps down those stairs, I grabbed the rod and yanked it down as I leapt from the paint cans.
Crash!
A can of nails and screws came crashing off the top shelf when I swung the rod down, and my heart dropped. I couldn't even move a step before I heard the leader from upstairs yell,
"What the hell was that? I think somebody's here!" yelled the higher-pitched fellow of the two.
Go! Go get them! Get them!
The first one yelled as I heard four loosely tied boots trample down the stairs. I grabbed my backpack, swung it around my shoulder, grabbed up the rod tight, and looked towards the door. There was no way I was going to make it through the inside of the house again and back out that back door. I had no option other than to run to the front, go to the garage door, and pray that it would open up to anything that was listening. I ran to it, turned the handle, ripped open the door with all my might.
He's in the garage!
I ducked under the door and pulled it back down as hard as I could. As I turned the corner to where I left them in the van, my breath stopped when I realized that they were gone. My body went numb, chills rose up through my spine and into the top of my head. That's when I heard a distant scream from down the long driveway.
Jesse, hurry!
It was Lenny hanging out of the driver's side window. I spun around and sprinted as fast as I could for them. I wasn't yet two strides from the house when I heard the front door rip open hard enough to break the glass panes as it crashed open.
There he is! Get him, Junior!
The first man hollered at the other.
He's mine!
Junior snarled as he leapt from the front porch steps and began running after me.
Hurry! He's coming!
Lenny cried. I put my head down and ran as hard as I possibly could down the driveway, careful to avoid any cracks and potholes that may have occurred over the years. With one last look back, I saw that he was halfway down the long driveway, pulling a tarnished silver gun from his baggy overall pocket, and struggled to keep it held steady as he was in pursuit. That's when Ben swung open the side door and jumped back into his beige bucket seat just to go hide.
Go!
I hollered to Lenny, who was ducking in the driver's seat. She looked at me with a concerned confusion when I yelled again,
Go! Now! Start driving! Go!
She started to pull off down the street as I rounded the last pine tree, threw my tackle box and fishing rod inside, and swung my backpack around my shoulder and into the van. With my legs moving as fast as they have ever before, I grabbed onto the side of the van and dove, barely landing in with half my body. I muscled up every bit of strength fueled by sheer adrenaline and fear to pull myself in and slam the door closed.
Go! Faster! Keep going! Turn here. Go straight. What the fuck?
I screamed as I kept an eye out the back window, making sure that they weren't following us. I didn't see any sight of them for 4 or 5 more blocks, so I turned around and climbed into the passenger seat.
What happened back there? Where did they come from? And how did you get back out without them seeing you?
I loaded her with questions as I tried to catch my breath.
I kept the van running like you said, but you were in there way longer than we thought you would be, she said.
Yeah, I know. Things were... there were some unexpected surprises. Like what kind of surprises, she asked.
Just keep driving. We need to get back to camp and far away from these people.
So how did you get away? I asked again.
They came from the other side of the house, she said. We kept the window rolled down just to hear if you needed any help, or, I don't know, in case something bad happened.
So we heard them talking, almost like they were arguing with each other or something when they went around the back of the house.
Yeah, they seem to do that a lot, I said.
So, as soon as they went inside, we drove across the grass and got to the street. I looked to the back to finally give Ben a good look and see how he was doing. I could see the faded red puffiness that covered his cheeks with tear stains that were wiped away a while ago. He looked back at me with eyes that silently said, I'm sorry for being scared. My heart ached.
How you doing, bud? You okay?
He gave me a slightly downward nod and whispered,
Yeah.
You saved my butt back there, you do know that, don't you?
You saved my butt back there, you know that, don't you?
I said. He tilted his head and his eyes widened as a sort of excitement puzzled his face.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
How? He snuck in there. I let out a little breathy laugh and said, If you weren't brave enough to get up and open that door for me, I would still be chasing you guys down the street making myself look all silly in front of all the squirrels to see. And you know how much I hate looking silly in front of those squirrels. His smile came back immediately as he laughed and said, You always look funny when you run in front of people, Daddy. I gave him a funny look and turned around to help navigate Lenny back to the camp. The whole way back, I thought to myself that I could never let something like that happen ever again and put my little boy in danger. Little did I know, that was just the beginning.
Ah,